Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here, a weekend kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino, hanging out here till 7 p.m. when Thursday night football kicks off. We got Seattle taking on Arizona, starting week four action. Want to remind folks, every Friday, 4 o'clock, countdown to the football weekend also officially begins with Saints legendary running back and color analyst Deuce McAllister and the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. Join them for Fans and the Pro as we break down all the games from Saints' next opponent at Buffalo and key opponents in the NFC South to LSU's next battle, which is Ole Miss and other clashes in the SEC. They'll make their picks and want to hear from yours. Haas and Deuce, Fans in the Pro, tomorrow 4 to 6 right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We've been breaking down Buffalo versus the Saints on Sunday. For helping us get the Bills side of things, Elena Getzenberg, reporter for ESPN, joining us now. Elena, thanks so much for the time. How have you been doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me. All good. We're coming off a bit of a little bye with the Bills playing on Thursday Night Football last week. So certainly feeling refreshed and excited for a 1 p.m. football game. That's rare here, so doing well.
Elena, I think a lot of people sort of want to know about his progress. He's a Louisiana guy, and Keon Coleman, who always wanted to go to LSU. It didn't end up right for him. He goes to Michigan State and then to Florida State, ends up being a real early second-round pick for the Bills. And you can see, you know, there's still a little bit of you got to put a little bit more grit on the sandpaper to get all the rough spots out of him. Very talented young man, was a terrific basketball player. I watched him play basketball in high school. So a little bit about his progress with the Bills.
Oh, yes, we hear about his basketball days still. So definitely still comes up. He's been doing, I think this year has been an important step. I mean, it's early. We still have a lot to see. But he came back this offseason. He was given some notes from the Bills. They wanted him to get stronger. He needed to work on his consistency. And he came back, and it was clear that he had worked on those things. And he had a great camp. Josh Allen was saying a lot of great things about him. And that showed in the second half of their week one win over the Ravens. He played a huge role and their offense being able to do what it did in coming back down 15 points. So he's taking good steps. He is not in a place where he is their number one receiver. They really don't have one. But I do think we're going to see Keon continue to get more involved in this offense, and they like the steps that he's taking. Kind of like you said, he is not – there's still room for growth, absolutely. It's important to remember, as I'm sure you all know down there, he's very young, so there's a lot of development still to come there. But he's taking the steps they'd like him to see, and then there's the room to grow that they would hope will come as the season progresses.
Every time I watch the Bills offense, and I know who's running it with Joe Brady, Elena reminds me so much of 2019 and how he uses James Cook in the same manner he used Clyde Edwards-Helaire here as a runner, as a receiver, and it helps set everything up for the passing game. And James has been a tremendous player for the Bills, but it's so reminiscent because it has a lot of the same sort of put the square peg into the square hole, round peg, round hole that he did with LSU when he was really the passing game coordinator here and worked with the receivers. But it has a lot of the same elements in Buffalo.
Absolutely. It's a bit of a signature of a Joe Brady offense at this point. I covered him when he was with the Panthers as well, so I saw some of this. And I think with how they're using James Cook is even a step more than what he did last year, which is really good news for this offense that they're trusting him on the field on third down more often, as you noted, as a receiving option on the field more often than last year. And Joe Brady loves to run the football. So we're going to continue to see that a lot with James Cook. It helps this offense be balanced and makes Josh Allen really a better player when he doesn't have to run the football so much, so he's not getting banged up as often. And they just love what they've gotten from James Cook to start the season. Obviously signed a 4-year extension in August. So there's a lot they're excited about with him. And he's shown, like, I talked to him this week, he's really progressed in terms of run after contact. That's an area he kind of looked at this offseason, and he got stronger. And him being able to shed tackles and really make these runs downfield is such a huge step for this offense as well. So, like you said, they are using him. They're using him a lot. Joe Brady loved getting the running backs involved, and we're going to continue to see that with James Cook moving forward here.
Ryan Nielsen, who's one of the, I think, senior defensive assistants, former Saints defensive line coach, he was at our Louisiana line camp in the summer in July, and he brought up to me, I asked him, concern. He said, concern defensively is we got a lot of new pieces in the secondary. And so he said, I'm always concerned about how the communication part is between players. He said, we used a first-round pick on a cover corner. Now, he was, he got hurt during the training camp preseason time frame, and then bringing back Trey White, another LSU guy. So far, teams have had success running, but they have played better on the back end than I think that Ryan really thought he would see early this season.
I would say it's been up and down. I agree with what you're saying. They've definitely had issues against the run. It hasn't been perfect at all. I think a major concern, though, for this group still is that safety position. At cornerback, they're very happy with Christian Benford. It is still a bit of a question mark. It looks like Tre'Davious White's going to be playing a good bit here because Maxwell Harrison still on injured reserve and doesn't look like he's coming back soon. So they're kind of hoping that Tre'Davious White can continue to take steps forward. But they've got their second-year safety, Cole Bishop, back there with Taylor Rapp, who Taylor Rapp's been solid, I would say, but there's definitely some concern when it comes to Cole Bishop and if he can continue to improve where he kind of is, because he is, that back end is still a bit of a liability. And the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football last week were able to convert all these third and longs, and it was kind of a bit of an issue where they just weren't able to get off the field. So I think some of those concerns have still held up where there are question marks in that secondary in terms of can they make progress? Can they gel together better than they have consistently at times this season? That is still a question mark. They've only won. Two of their games have been won basically by last fourth quarter takeaways, which is a good thing for a defense, but getting off the field sooner is important. So with what he said, I think definitely taking steps there, but it is still a concern and one of the big question marks remaining on this team.
Is this team built, because they try to hit you with the tsunami offensively, where they put all kind of points up on you, and then they're asking their defensive line, if it's Russo, if it's Joey Bosa, I know Ed Oliver is dealing with an injury also, hey, just play Sikkim at the quarterback. Just try to put all kind of pressure on the quarterback, but the run support thing for me, I look at the Dolphins. They weren't a great running team. And they averaged 5.2 yards a rush, got 130 yards rushing. Wouldn't have been for Tua putting up a pass he never saw. The linebacker kind of cut through. That game's really, really tight to the end. Defensively, that would seem to be a major concern if you're looking at this team advancing far or trying to get into the Super Bowl.
I agree with you. You can run on this team right now. Ed Oliver, he is still not practicing. I don't expect him this week and could, how long that'll stretch, we don't know yet, but he's still out and he's a major loss of relying on a couple of rookies to fill his spot. So there's no doubt that you can run on this defense and not, they got to figure that out. It's not just Ed Oliver being absent either, because we saw the Ravens in week 1, of course, a fantastic rushing offense. You expect them to have some success, but they steamrolled the Bills in week one with Ed Oliver. So there's no doubt that is a huge concern for this defense. They have to be able to get off the field and stop the run. And they really invested in the defensive line this offseason, both in the draft and in free agency, to try to take that next step. And because of suspensions as well to a couple of players and injuries and all this stuff, they're relying on young guys even more than they anticipated. And you can see it all over the field. So they've got reinforcements coming. They're hoping to get healthier and get a couple guys back from suspension in week 8. So that's still a far way away. But they do have guys coming back that they hope will help them fill these holes, because right now it is an issue and they have to get it corrected. Or I agree with you. I think it's going to become an issue in the postseason as well.
I think we see it more and more now in the NFL, only because the collegiate ranks have been able to produce, you know, numerous tight ends and sort of double-digit really good tight ends every year over the last couple, three. But what you've got to cover with Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox and even Jackson Hawes coming in here, I mean, that is more and more of a trend we see across the NFL of the two tight end offense. And it's not about blocking. A lot of it has to do with trying to create a mismatch downfield in the receiving part of the game. But when you got Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, and we'll see how well Jackson Hawes comes around, that is a really good group of tight ends, all three of them.
It really is. They've been very impressed with Jackson Hawes, especially his blocking ability. He's been like the talk of the town this week of how well he's been playing, just caught his first touchdown as well last week, kind of what you're referencing there. And the question is definitely with Dalton Kincaid when it comes to the tight ends. He's in his third year now. He was a first-round pick they traded up for. He's playing better this year, for sure. He's taken a step kind of similar to Keon. But they invested very, very highly in Dalton to kind of be even more than he is in this receiving game for Josh Allen. And he just has not yet, like, broken through that seal that they wanted him to. He had some flashes so far this year, but they are really hoping now in his third year that he can take even more of a step forward. And like you're saying, that these tight ends can be such a force for this offense. I remember general manager Brandon Bean, when they drafted Dalton, really emphasizing how they want to have Dalton and Dawson on the field at the same time and to be receiving threats in that way. So that really hasn't been realized to the fullest extent. And if that can really form this season, this offense is going to even get better, which is a scary thing for other teams. But something that internally they're definitely keeping an eye on is the progress of Dalton Kincaid, because they've, like you said, it's a strong tight end room, but they think it can even be better. So how he progresses will be a key part of the season.
He's a Louisiana guy, so got to ask you about it. And my producer who called you, Charlie Long, he got to cover his ears because he started at University of Louisiana. He was a raging Cajun before Billy Napier really paid him, and he goes to Florida for that last year. But the progress you've seen so far from Osiris Torrance.
Yeah, they love him. He's a very sweet young man as well. He has been, this offensive line has been playing so well the past couple of years, and he, to me, is such an underappreciated part of that, and someone I wouldn't be surprised if they reward with a contract down the road when he's eligible, because he's been playing very well. They really trust him. They showed that by putting him out there early, and he is absolutely one of those picks where it's like, it's worked so well. And that offensive line, it doesn't, again, offensive line never gets enough credit, but they're such a crucial part of this offense. And he is a key element of that and someone that they just have seen grown and develop. And again, wouldn't be surprised if he's a Buffalo Bill for a long time.
Only thing with him is grew up in South Louisiana, then he goes to Florida. He started trying to get used to that cold weather in the wintertime. that's a little change from down here.
For all those guys, it's such an adjustment. Even talking to Keon, it's like, okay, he went to Michigan State and all that, but it's different in Buffalo. So for all of them, it's a bit of an adjustment. But they've got their warm coats. They're doing all right.
One thing with Keon, he's going to be layered, and it don't matter how he looks. I mean, you know, and if he want to hear a story, just talk to Keon. Man, he is quite the guy that I think he would be a great radio host one day.
Oh, my gosh.
Talk.
You would never be able to expect what he says. He will always keep you on your toes.
Yeah. Elena, looking at the crowd for this game, it's, you mentioned a rare early start in Buffalo. What's the Bills Mafia going to be like for a 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff?
Actually pretty crazy, because as we were just talking about, it's supposed to be beautiful weather. Ironically, it stayed pretty warm here, so it's going to be a lovely fall day in Buffalo, New York, and we just haven't had and aren't going to have many 1 p.m. games this year. So this is actually a pretty expensive ticket to try and get. So they're going to be pumped up. They're going to be really excited for it, and I expect it to be a packed one, because we just, there's not a lot of 1 p.m. games. So I think it's going to be more like a night game than you would anticipate for a 1 p.m. kick.
A couple years back when they played in New Orleans, and where Steve and I park at, we used to have to cross that little, and they came to town. Ooh. It was packed. And nothing but Buffalo Bills fans. They were having a really good, let me just say, a really good time. I got invited along with the other guy we do the show with, Bobby Hebert. Hey, y'all have a good time. Hey, we got a few of y'all want to kind of tip it a little bit. Man, they were having a good time. That's all I'm telling you in New Orleans. They really enjoyed their stay in the Big Easy.
They always know how to have a good time. I show up at like too early of hours to people having a very good time. And I'm like, when did you get here? So they know how to have a nice time. So I'm sure that'll still be the case on Sunday.
Awesome stuff, Elena. Definitely appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Elena.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Elena Getzenberg, Buffalo Bills reporter for ESPN. Black and gold heading up there on Friday. But like she mentioned, we saw this on the schedule early on, and we're like, well, thankfully, we know Bills are a good team, but the weather not a factor in this game at being an issue.
No, I heard it's supposed to be in the 70s. I mean, what? Man, that's really beautiful weather. And, you know, they know how to have a good time, man.
Watch out for those tables out there. They get the brunt of everything.
They get the big brunt of it. But, boy, we saw it when they came to New Orleans. It was unbelievable, the amount of Buffalo Bill fans. And so it was like spring break for them. I mean, everybody hit the city.
We're here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Have you guys ever tried the Alder and Birch Steakhouse that's here? Indulge in the finest cuts of steak and fresh seafood at Alder and Birch Steakhouse. Menu features a variety of steaks cooked to perfection, along with a range of delicious seafood options and a carefully curated list of classic cocktails, premium wines to perfectly complement your meal. Whether celebrating special occasions or simply enjoying a steak or seafood dinner, Alder and Birch at Treasure Chest Casino provides an unforgettable dining experience. Taking that break. Be right back with more. Getting into our Pick 6 segment right after this on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into weekend kickoff here at the Treasure Chest Casino. We're inside the game bar and grill, just hanging out, waiting for Thursday night football to start week 4 action. And we got some NFL, like I said, kicking off tonight, college football, the big game starting on Saturday. We're going to get into all that on our Pick 6 segment. Charlie, how did the last weekend go for us? I think we did fared a little bit better than our early picking so far. We're starting to get warmed up.
Guys, given how the start of the season went, this was our best week by far, except for Bobby. Bobby didn't have a great week, but we'll get into that. I went 4-2. Mike, you went 4-2. Steve, you went 5-1 this past week. Awesome week for you. Bobby went 2-4. So a couple things that happened last week. I picked Texas Tech. That worked out for me. I picked Tulane. That did not work out for me, unfortunately. And then, Steve, what put you over the top was taking the Lions on Monday Night Football. That definitely worked out for you. You were the only one to take them. Everyone else was on the Ravens. So congrats to that, Steve.
Yeah, I was loving Dan Campbell, you know, with his big you-know-what and going for it all the time. It doesn't seem like he likes kicking field goals.
Yeah, so, Charlie, I saw him flip the coin over here. That's how he picked the Lions.
Yeah, well, it worked out for him. So resetting the standings, guys, we have a three-way tie for first place. Mike, Steve, and Bobby all sitting at 14 and 12. You know, I'm picking up the pace a little bit here, guys. This is my first winning week. You know, I'm typically pretty decent at this, but this year has not been very kind to me. I'm at 12 and 14, so I got a little bit of ground to make up, but hopefully I can make some ground up this week. We'll see what happens. Guys, we're going to start. College football week 5 is absolutely loaded. There was maybe 6 different games I could have picked for this. We could have done the whole thing for college football, but we split it up 3 and 3 as we always do. And so we're going to start, go chronologically order. We got number 4 LSU at number 13 Ole Miss. The Rebels 1.5-point favorites at home, guys. I know a lot of bookies and a lot of different sports bettors are kind of following the trend. Mike, you and I talked about this on Tuesday, that the home team has been winning these games pretty consistently, at least over the last few years. Bobby's got LSU plus 1.5, and I'm also going to go with LSU and get the 1.5 points here. Even if, you know, it's a close game, we got the point I have to work with. I think LSU wins this game outright. You know, the kind of the good trends that you saw from Garrett Nussmeier, I know it's against Southeastern, but being able to push the ball downfield, something that he really wasn't able to do in the first 3 weeks of the season with that torso injury. I think he's starting to get healthy. Coach Kelly's been talking about he's starting to get healthy. That adds a whole new dimension to LSU's offense that I don't think people have seen so far this year. And I got LSU winning this game at Ole Miss, guys. I'm right there with Bobby taking them plus 1.5.
Better defense than they've had the last, what, 3 or 4 years. I got to go with LSU here. I know the last 4 years, home team has won.
Right.
It's split 2 and 2. But you know what? I think it breaks this year. I'm going to go with the Tigers in a field goal game over Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm right along with the pack. And like you just said there, Mike, that defense right now for LSU has me giving them the edge. Even with, I know, a prolific Ole Miss offense, I think they can match up well against them.
See how well the kid plays again.
Exactly.
Chambliss.
Yeah.
You know, see how well that works out. But he's been fantastic, really has. And he's no rookie. I mean, he started a lot of games at Ferris State. He understands, but he's never played in this type atmosphere. I think he'll play well, but I think LSU's defense is outstanding this year. The secondary's terrific. I'm going to go with the Tigers here in a close game.
Hopefully the clean sweep here from us doesn't jinx the LSU Tigers.
I hope not.
Yeah, it's happened before, guys. But as you said, hopefully it's not the case. And as you mentioned, Mike, strength versus strength in this matchup. Top 10 scoring defense in the country in LSU. Top 10 scoring offense in the country in Ole Miss. I think both of them are legit. It's going to be an awesome matchup. The chess match between Blake Baker's defense and Lane Kiffin's offense. But just the amount of talent that LSU has on defense this year, I think that they're a little bit more legit. And I do think that Ole Miss's offense is going to be great all season long, but LSU's defense is going to be the same way. So give me the Tigers. Clean sweep here, guys, to start things off. Up next, we got the whiteout game. Number 3, Penn State, hosting number 6, Oregon. Penn State, 3.5-point favorites. And boy, oh boy, I have been swinging back and forth on this one because I hate taking James Franklin in big games. Big game James, as they call it. I think he's like 4-20. Against top 10 teams in his time at Penn State. He's been terrible. Bobby's taken Oregon plus 3.5 here. But then I was like looking at some of the numbers about Penn State and their whiteout game and how difficult of an atmosphere that is to play. I know that Dante Moore, the quarterback of Oregon, has been awesome to start the season. And that, you know, Drew Aller for Penn State hasn't been very good. I like Penn State's rushing attack. I think that, you know, the home field advantage here will give them the edge. So I will differ from Bobby and I will take Penn State minus 3.5 in a touchdown type of game.
I'm going to go with Penn State here. It's almost, I feel like this is a sucker game.
It is.
Putting that 3.5 on there. Penn State, come on, you got to win this a big game like this. And if you're going to beat Oregon, you better beat them early.
Right.
With Moore. Because I think he gets better as the season goes along. I think Oregon is a legit team that could be playing deep into December. I feel the same way about Penn State. You know what? I think Penn State wins finally, you know, because they've won a few. But I think if it's 4-20, let's make it 5-20.
I'm going to actually side with Hebert, guys. I'm going with the quack attack. Give me Oregon on the road here.
I don't know.
Penn State just hasn't impressed me at all.
They haven't.
No.
That's what scares me, Steve. I agree with you.
And guys, I'll put this out there as well, Mike, that I think that this is a more important game for Penn State than anything else. Like, because Oregon, if you look at their schedule, this is clearly the toughest game that they have to play. And I think, you know, outside of this, they could very easily run the table and be an 11-1 squad entering the college football playoff. On Penn State's side of things, they still have to go to Ohio State later on in the season. I think this is a massive game for the Nittany Lions. I think the whiteout crowd will be there. I just think it's a you know, it's a sucker bet. Like you said, Mike, is the half point there. But give me Penn State minus 3.5. So this is a split, guys. Mike and I got Penn State. Steve and Bobby got Oregon in this matchup. And closing out college football week 5, as I mentioned, a loaded slate. Number 17, Alabama at number 5, Georgia. Georgia 2.5-point favorites at home. And boy, oh boy, once again, a fantastic matchup here in the SEC. You know, Mikey had brought up the stat earlier, Kirby Smart's 1-6 against Alabama in his career. And I think that's a really, really interesting one. But at the same time, Georgia has won 33 straight home games. You know, I know Alabama, they've been looking really, really dominant recently, but they've also had some issues on the road, unless they're playing in Death Valley. That's a side note. Give me Georgia minus 2.5. Bobby also has Georgia minus 2.5. A lot of money's been coming in on Bama, guys. It's kind of pushed the line down to 2.5, so that's why I'm taking them. Once again, could be a field goal type of game.
I like definitely Georgia at home as well. That record, too, for Kirby Smart, a lot dealing with the other guy that was coaching over there for a while, Nick Saban. I'm just more confident than the dogs at home.
Give me Alabama.
Oh!
There it is.
Give me the Crimson Tide. I'm just telling you, I just think, man, if this game is close and you slip them four fingers up in the air and it's 20-17, you say, uh-oh, is this going to happen again? I'm telling you, this game has a lot to do with mental. These teams are really well matched. But Georgia, and I got this from Pete Jenkins, Georgia is not nearly as good on defense front line. And he said as far as the depth, they don't have the depth they've had over the last couple of years because a lot of those guys get peeled off early for the draft.
Yeah.
If Alabama's got a shot here to redeem himself off of an absolutely El Lazio performance against Florida State, it's here. And I think Georgia stole one against Tennessee. And Tennessee helped them steal it. They almost gave them the wallet, so to speak. At the end of the game, I got to go with the Crimson Tide here.
Ooh-wee, nice and spicy for Mike. So, Charlie, we ended up going all the same. Everyone taking LSU, split even on Oregon, Penn State, and then Mike Yee, the only one being different, taking Bama.
No, and listen, it's a good pick. Bama's been playing really, really well, and they're getting their running back, I think, Jam Miller this weekend, so that's an extra dimension. Georgia's defense, as you mentioned, Mike, did not look very good against Tennessee, but they are at home, and just seeing some of the performances that Bama's had on the road under Coach DeBoer, on paper, I like Alabama and their roster more than this Georgia roster, but just playing in Athens, that's why I'm going with the home team.
Three picks down, three more to go. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL, our weekend kickoff edition here on Sports Talk, hanging out at the Game Bar and Grill. NFL picks coming up next right after this on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Weekend kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill rolling on this Thursday, the September 25th, getting ready for this weekend's action and week 4 in the NFL kicking off this evening, Thursday Night Football, Arizona-Seattle coming up here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Now getting into our NFL picks on pick 6, kicking off action. And Charlie, I know you got number 1 on the list here, Saints at Bills with that massive spread.
So the spread's actually come down a little bit, guys. So today, the day we're doing this, Thursday, it's officially 15.5. A little bit of money's been coming on the Saints here ever since it opened at 16.5. So Bobby's got the Saints plus 15.5 in Buffalo. This one's tough for me, guys. I'll take the Bills. I know that they didn't cover against the Dolphins. I think there's maybe some divisional stuff there. This just kind of screams to me maybe like a 17-point game. And I know that the Saints last week against Seattle was a little bit fluky, and this is a ton of points to be taking. But give me Buffalo to cover that 15.5-point spread.
Buffalo for me.
Yeah, this was tough for me just because the number's so big. But I look at it, guys, and I'm sorry. There's nothing that gives me confidence about the Saints squad right now. They're not doing anything well that you can really hang your hat on. And Buffalo's a juggernaut. So as crazy as it is, I'm going to take the Bills and give that 15.5 to
two good offense.
I mean,
you
can score points.
You can't keep up with that, right?
I don't think you can keep up with it.
It's what Breeze had mentioned yesterday, right, guys, that if the Saints can get some turnovers, maybe they can keep this thing close. But seeing how the Saints' defense has played this year, I don't really have much confidence that they'll be able to do that, at least get multiple turnovers against this really, really loaded Bills offense. Up next, guys, a really surprising game. The Ravens and the Chiefs, both 1-2 early on in the season. Two desperate squads looking to avoid that third loss in week four. Baltimore, 2.5-point favorites on the road in Kansas City. Bobby's got the Ravens -2.5, and it burned me last week, but I'm going back to the well. Give me Baltimore -2.5, picking up a nice win in Kansas City, kind of further burying the Chiefs a little bit here, guys.
Yeah, I'm going to go along with that Ravens flock. The Chiefs don't look like themselves right now. I know they're going to be getting some weapons back soon, but I don't know. The Ravens playing great right now. The record's not indicative of what's going on. Unfortunate. Hopefully Derrick Henry can hold on to the ball here. But 2.5 in Kansas City, I'll take the Ravens.
Kansas City.
There it is.
I do think the Chiefs, I think this is a close game. It may end up being a field goal game, but, you know, they won so many close games last year, and now the Chiefs haven't been able to do it.
Yeah.
They might win one here. You know, neither team is really overwhelming. Either one. The Ravens, they got blown out the park Monday night against Detroit. People don't want to talk about that, but that's the truth. The Lions ran them off the field physically. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Don't ask me why. I just gut feeling.
No, it's a good pick. I mean, you're getting points at home as well with this Kansas City team. It feels like Baltimore's run defense. What the heck has happened to them? I know that the Lions have kind of prided themselves on being able to run the football in their quote-unquote golden era of recent years, but they just annihilated. They almost embarrassed that Ravens team on Monday Night Football, which was, I think, the most shocking result of last weekend. Finally, guys, we're going with another primetime game. This one should be a lot of fun. The Packers, 6.5-point favorites at the Cowboys. Micah Parsons returned to Dallas. Bobby, of course, has picked the Packers in this game. I will follow suit. I think the Packers kind of got punched in the mouth this past weekend with that loss to, you know, the Browns. And I had just mentioned that the most embarrassing loss of the weekend might have been the Ravens. It actually was probably that Browns team going and hosting the Packers and taking them down this past week. The most shocking result of the weekend. But give me them bouncing back. I don't like the Cowboys defense at all. I think the Browns defense is ferocious. So Jordan Love, Packers offense is a nice bounce back week, and you can kind of guarantee that Micah Parsons is going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder.
You mentioned it right there, Charlie. I'll take the angry Micah Parsons and a ticked off Packers squad after that terrible loss to the Browns. Think they'll bounce back big in Dallas.
Okay, Jordan Love got to get off the pot.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Because he did not play well last week in a game that they could have easily won. And that's nothing against the Browns. The Browns' defense is legit.
For sure.
They're really good. But offensively, you know, didn't take a lot of points to win that game. And he was awful in the second half of that football game. But in saying all that, man, Packers for me. I just think their defense. Give the ball to Josh Jacobs.
Yes.
Okay, the football ain't that heavy. Run it against the Cowboys and do what you got to do. But this has got to be a game where Jordan Love's got to be able to bounce back because he did not look good in that second half against Cleveland.
Luckily for him, guys, he's not going against Myles Garrett. He's going against the Cowboys defensive front, which, I mean, kind of got torched this past weekend by a mediocre Bears offensive line. So I think he's going to be able to sit back in the pocket, be able to pick apart that Cowboys defense. And even though it isn't Dallas, and that's a lot of points for a road team, this is a clean sweep. Everyone's taking the Packers here.
I was going to say, Charlie, we got two clean sweeps, one in college, one in NFL this week.
Yes, sir. We got LSU as a clean sweep, and the Packers as a clean sweep to round things out.
We are wrapping up our weekend kickoff edition of the Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill. Thursday Night Football coming up soon. We shall take a break. return with even more right after this on WWL. Who dat, folks? We're back here at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill for weekend kickoff, wrapping things up as we get ready for Thursday Night Football coming up 7 p.m. WWLAMFM.com in the Odyssey app. Arizona Cardinals, Seattle Seahawks, and NFC West Showdown. Looking at these two squads, should be a good matchup tonight to lead into Week 4 of action. Curious to see how Seattle now responds after that dominating performance against the Saints. Last week we saw Seattle take down the Saints with ease. In Arizona, obviously a divisional matchup, you think things are going to be a little bit tight this evening?
Oh, yeah, I think it'll be a tight game between the two. This game's going to come down to which quarterback doesn't make the big mistake. Sam Darnold and Kyler Murray. I mean, Kyler Murray sometimes in a game, he looks good, bad, and in between all in one game. And sometimes all in one half.
Yeah.
Man, you know, and Sam Darnold is who he is. If you can move him off platform, okay, you got to move him off his launch pad. He's not the same player. The Saints couldn't do that. It was like you were watching a guy throwing skeleton drills last week. Can the Cardinals put pressure on Sam Darnold? Now, you know they're going to hit you with the running game. They love to run the football with Kenneth Walker. When Charbonnet's healthy, they'll do that. But, this is a tough game for Arizona. Really, really is. But they such an erratic team from week to week. You don't know what you're going to get out of them. I like Seattle. I don't love them, though. But I like them here against Arizona.
Looking at the rest of the NFC South, Mike, before we push out of here, you've got Tampa Bay hosting Philadelphia. Hopefully them Eagles can hand the Bucs their first loss of the year, even though it is in Tampa. That's going to be tough.
They have not played well.
Exactly.
In Florida, it doesn't matter who they play. They have not played well there in Baker. There is something about that. There's something about it. And I think what Drew Brees said is true. Their offense is very conservative. It's, you know, it's mundane to watch.
Right.
It wins. I don't give a damn about how it looks.
And I know they're down some wide receivers right now, I heard.
And they kind of beat up, and so is the Bucs. They lose Cody Mark at guard. Mike Evans is going to be out a few weeks. But that Abuka guy can play.
And
that rookie kid can play.
Real quick, Commanders at Falcons and also Panthers at New England.
Man, my thing is I'm pulling for the Commanders this week.
Amen.
I don't care if it's Mariota at quarterback or Jaden.
Just beat the Dirty Birds.
Just beat them. And, man, you talk about a team floundering. Right now it's the Falcons.
Right.
The Saints aren't good. The Falcons have spent a lot to try to rehab that team. I don't know about all that.
Been a great night, folks. Thanks for tuning in. For Mike Dettillier, Charlie Long, and Luke Augusta, I'm Steve Geller. Have a great night. Who dat?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.